Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge and we are glad to have you with us. Well, it certainly is the case that communities all across the country and communities in East Central Illinois certainly are included. Communities all across the country are struggling to cope with plant closings and with layoffs. There are people who would say they have never been unemployed who now are lucky if they can get part-time work, and then that pushes other people even out of those jobs, people who are marginally employed before. This morning, what we'll try to do is to talk a little bit about one community resource that's dedicated to helping people, and young people and maybe in particular, acquire the skills needed to be successful in today's economy. Our guest for the program is Minor Jackson. He is Executive Director of Workforce Development at Parkland College. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the opportunities for education and training that are available to Parkland. Maybe try to talk a little bit about the East Central Illinois job market. And questions are certainly welcome. People who are listening, they can call in with questions and comments. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Let me tell you just a little bit more about our guest. His background, his academic background is in business and in accounting. He's the former director of the Parkland Business Development Center, held that job from April 2000 until April 2005. Before going to work at Parkland, he worked in human resources for 16 years with four different Fortune 500 companies. His career has taken him all around the Midwest. He's worked in Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin. Before working in human resources, he was a senior cost accountant for a major auto seatbelt manufacturer in northeast Missouri. He had that job for a number of years. And he's here in the studio with us. We're pleased that he could give us some of his time. Questions are welcome. Let me also mention that today's program is part of Will Connect. This is a series on the local economy, informing and connecting you and communities in East Central Illinois with one another and also with regional resources. This series, some of the programs we've doing here on Focus, we'll be doing on Afternoon Magazine, news stories that we're doing. They all grew out of a series of community conversations that were held, that WIL held this past summer in Champaign, Vermilion, and Macon counties. And what we tried to do is hear what people said in those conversations and pick some issues to talk about. And certainly this is one. Also, for just more information on connecting with the services, you can look at our website. That's willconnect.org/economy. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
I certainly appreciate it. Just, you know, I think in these conversations that we had, certainly one of the things that we heard over and over again from people in all these communities is they're very concerned about the loss of jobs in their community, and they certainly understand that having good jobs that pay a living wage, that's important to having a strong community. People can't support themselves and their families. You know, you can't have a community. Can you talk a little bit about what has happened and particularly what kind of jobs have been lost, say, if you just look at, you know, East Central Illinois?
Well, specifically, Dave, it's hit the manufacturing realm pretty hard. Mm. I think you're aware that Baltimore Air Coal and Paxton, who had been there, I think, 33 years, closed their plant June 30th. I think you're also aware that ACH Foods, formerly AC Humco, they're closing their plant next month. And you look at what's happening in East Central Illinois, I believe that this area has been insulated for years against negative downturns in the economy, thanks to the advanced technologies of the University of Illinois. But more specifically, in the past, I would say 9 to 12 months, we've seen some things that we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. Again, with Baltimore Air Coal, their plant in Paxton, they're the largest employer. And you're talking about a loss of roughly 225 jobs. With ACH Food, I think it's about 250 jobs. So to lose two major manufacturing employers in our East Central Illinois region, it really has an adverse effect on the local economy. Mm-hmm. And I think you're also aware that, you know, when there's a downturn in the economy, people return back to school. So what we've seen at Parkland is our summer enrollment is up 15% and our fall enrollment is up 27%.
Yeah. Just recently we had on the show two presidents of other local community colleges, and essentially they said the same thing, that their summer enrollment was up like more than 40%, and they were certainly anticipating that the kind of enrollments in the fall would similarly be up. So clearly people are looking for new skills, new knowledge to get them new jobs.
Absolutely. And if you, you know, if you walk a mile in the shoes of a manufacturing worker and they are a long-tenured employee, someone who's been with the two employers I mentioned may have been there 10, 15, 20 years. The loss of a job is like a death in the family. You go through a grieving process. And I don't know all the stages of the grieving process, but I do know that anger and depression are two of them. And it's quite easily, it can happen that you can get stuck on an emotional roller coaster that really interferes with you focusing on your job search. And I think another decision that manufacturing workers are faced is, upon the loss of a job, what do you do? You know, obviously, you may need more education and training, but you need to find an occupation. You need to find a career, and often that's not easy.
Yeah. How many of the folks that we're talking about who would have been thrown out of work just simply because, you know, not because they were not doing a good job, but because the employer just closed down, how many of those people had maybe little or no education past high school?
I would say the majority of the workforce had high school diplomas. Some had college, some had some associate degrees. But again, when you're looking at, you know, starting all over again, mm-hmm. after a long tenure at a manufacturing company, you've got to really do some soul searching inside to, you know, to figure out what you want to be when you grow up.
I haven't figured that out myself. Well, that's – and do you say, for example, at Parkland, are there people who are there to help individuals, in fact, do that, try to figure out what they want to do?
Absolutely. Parkland College has a variety of academic and student support resources and services that can help those type of individuals. For example, our admissions process is very structured, is very supportive. Our assessment center does the math, reading, and language assessments. The Parkland Career Center really does the career counseling, mm-hmm. Helps with job search strategies, skills, cover letter, resume preparation. The Counseling and Advising Center is a tremendous resource with counselors, academic advisors. I think you know what it takes in regards to declaring a major, looking at curriculums, classes that you should take, and particularly the sequence of those classes. What we've been able to do at Parkland through our new department, Workforce Development, the past 18 months, is we've been able to focus on workforce development training grants, which will help these individuals answer some of those questions. Mm-hmm. For example, last year, July 1st, Parkland College was awarded a $450,000 grant from the Grand Victoria Foundation, located in downtown Chicago. And this grant targets low-wage incumbent healthcare workers, and it really gives them an opportunity to advance their education, increase their compensation, and improve their quality of life. You may have read last January where Parkland was awarded a $1.564 million grant from the U.S. Department of Labor. The acronym is CBJT. That stands for Community-Based Job Training. And we're partnering with Kraft, Plastipak, FlexEngage, and Guardian West. And it's really a twofold strategy, one of which that focuses on incumbent worker training. But it also targets high school youth and unemployed adults. And for those adults and youth, the program really comprises of four academic semesters and two summer internships. Each internship is 6 weeks long, 40 hours a week. So you're really talking about an associate degree in industrial maintenance and 480 hours of a paid internship, which the individual will go into a pool of applicants and subsequently are hired by one of those four manufacturers.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me that that's a feature like that can be very important, because some of the stories that I have read about people who had lost a job and then had gone back to school for more training, mm-hmm. suggests that sometimes you can have someone who, you know, successfully completes the educational process,
right?
But and then goes out and tries to get the job. And one of the reasons that employers have for not hiring them is they're saying, well, you don't have any experience.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that to have a program that not only provides education and some training, but actually gives the person some hands-on experience so that they can actually have something to put on their resume that says, I did the job.
Right.
That can give them an important leg up over others who maybe don't have that on their resume.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right, Dave. When I mentioned earlier about people who are displaced or dislocated workers and starting all over again, if you look at yourself as an individual and you examine your level of education, experience, knowledge, and skills, you really need to understand how you can parlay that into an employment opportunity. And some of us are very adept at interview skills. Some of us are not. Okay, but you have to understand what the employer is looking for and what you're bringing to the table. So in that sense, it's really a two-way street. And in assessing your own level of knowledge, skills, education, experience, you represent a value to the employer. Mm-hmm. And you really have to take that value and market it first to get a ticket to an interview, and then sell yourself an interview. Nobody can sell you better than yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to understand the employer's needs as well as what you're bringing to the table.
You know, you were talking about, for example, a program that you have for people who already are working in healthcare, who
right.
want to get, you know, additional training and skills so that then hopefully they can stay in the healthcare field, but they can get better jobs. And I think that here, say, healthcare seems to be one field that continues to grow. We know that there are going to be jobs there. I guess, again, going back to some of the things that I've read about, you know, people who go back for school thinking that they're going to go into a particular field or go into a particular job and then get out and find out there are no jobs, or that the people who might potentially hire them just at that moment aren't. And I guess I'm wondering about, you know, how it maybe this again goes back to helping people figure out what they want to do or what they want to be, you know, whether you try to make some determination that, in fact, in a particular field, there actually are jobs, and that there was a good possibility that if somebody goes through and, you know, successfully completes the education, that once they finish, they will actually have some hope of employment.
Well, Dave, that's a great question. In the grant proposal to the Grand Victoria Foundation, one of the things that Parkland did was use the example of a traditional career ladder. And the flexibility that's in this grant is one of the mandatory requirements is that you're currently employed at a local healthcare employer, but it doesn't have to be as a nurse, for example. So you could be a food service worker, a receptionist, a security guard, a shuttle bus driver. The job could be full-time. It could be part-time. But the traditional career ladder that I spoke about, we used CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant, the next level MOA, Medical Office Assistant, and then the LPN and RN. And also the flexibility that's built into the Grand Victoria Foundation grant is that all of the Parkland College health career programs, in addition to the four I just cited, are eligible for the grant. So you could be a respiratory tech, you could be a radiology tech, you could be a pharmacy technician. You could be an occupational therapist. You could be a massage therapist. So that's another mandatory requirement is that you're currently enrolled in a Parkland College Health Careers program.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we have seen is that in many cases people who have lost jobs, if they manage to find another one, it doesn't pay what their other job did. It might not have some of the benefits that the other job had, and that people are really they're being downgraded, and have had to deal with a pretty significant decrease in their standard of living. I guess I'm just wondering again from your perspective, somebody who's been familiar with the economy of East Central Illinois for a long time, what's happening with jobs, and are there in fact fewer really good jobs, or are the jobs there and it is more a matter of people having to get people to the place where they have the skills where they can take the jobs that are available?
Well, Dave, if you were to do an internet search on the say, top three high demand, high growth jobs, not only in our region but across the United States, the answers would come up education, healthcare, and construction. And we're talking about healthcare here for a few minutes. If you just look at the classified advertisements in the Sunday News Gazette and just look under health professionals, you'll see the wide array of positions similar to the career ladder that I just cited to you. So there are jobs out there. Mm-hmm. You can also go to the website of the local healthcare employers in town, and there's a link for employment opportunities. But I think you make a very valid point in that if you take a long-tenured manufacturing employee, they're probably in the upper echelon in the wage and salary structure. And depending upon their corporation or their owner, their benefits would be consistent with that as well. So that's what I meant earlier about, you know, starting all over again. So what I encourage people to do is take a look at the opportunity. You know, get your foot in the door. Starting all over again, you know, may be a tough pill to swallow, but it's certainly better than the alternative of unemployment compensation. And again, assess your own personal value of what you present to the employer. And if you are successful in receiving that first employment opportunity, then there'll be more opportunities after that.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Minor Jackson. He's Executive Director of Workforce Development at Parkland College, who also was for a number of years the Director of the Parkland Business Development Center. And we're talking this morning about the whole issue of jobs, what's happened to jobs in the current economic downturn, what happens to people when they're thrown out of work, what kind of strategies people can take to try to get another job or to get a better job, and the role of an institution like Parkland College in trying to help people maybe set a new direction and then get the kind of training and education that's necessary for them to be successful. Questions, of course, are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You know, something else I'm curious about is what has happened with any kinds of money that Parkland would be getting, say, either from the state of Illinois or from the federal government to put towards these efforts. And I know, for example, earlier this summer, there were a lot of people who received funds from the state of Illinois who were very concerned about what the funding picture would be. There was one point we didn't even have a state budget, so nobody knew what money they were getting.
Right.
Now we have a budget, but there's still a lot of questions, I think, about, you know, for example, social service organizations and how much funding that they would get. To what extent do you depend on either state or federal money for what you do, and what's that look like now?
Well, I think if you look at the governor's and state of Illinois budget, there was funds carved out for education. Some of the major construction projects, for example, in Parkland's example, was approved for a student service center. Mm-hmm. And you're really talking about millions of dollars being appropriated that had been on the, I think, the state's wish list for quite some time, about 10, 12, maybe 15 years. There's been some cutbacks. If you were to attend a Parkland Board of Trustees meeting, you'll hear some discussion of how the state funding has decreased over time. What we do at Parkland is we obviously look to the community, through the property tax assessments as one funding revenue source, but as well we look at state and federal grants that really supplement the revenues that are coming to Parkland College. Parkland is part of the ICCB, the Illinois Community College Board, and it has the third largest district in the ICCB. So I think there are times, Dave, where some people, when they think of Parkland, they think only of Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the district, it goes as far north as Gilman, south to Arcola, west to Leroy and Farmer City, and east to Homer Ogden. So it's a pretty large district. And if you look at example of the district that we serve and the number of students, the funding issues are, you know, it's a situation that we have to look at monthly and on an annual basis.
We have a caller here to talk with. Let's do that. By the way, our number for folks who want to join in the conversation, 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. We do also have a toll-free line, so that means if it would be a long-distance call for you, use that number. We'll pay for the call. And that's 800-222-9455. We have someone here in Urbana to talk with. This is line one. Hello.
Hi. Just a minute or two ago, Mr. Inge asked, kind of essentially, where are all the jobs going? You know, how come when people find jobs, they're lower paying jobs? And while that answer was fine, I think it's good to note that all this takes place in like a larger context. An example was in the news recently. There's been this was it Citibank who paid out $5 billion in bonuses as while taking so much taxpayer money. It may not have been Citibank, but anyway, that if you just take that number, $5 billion in 1 year bonuses, you know, for $1 billion you could pay 20,000 people a salary of $50,000. And you could, for $2 billion, you could throw benefits on top of that. This was $5 billion for a failing company, $50,000 jobs that could have been created. You know, I realize you can't just take someone from manufacturing and stick them in the financial sector, but this, I think this is happening in all across the board. It's not just the financial industry. And so we wonder where the jobs are going. Well, they're going into big bonuses and stuff like that. I just like some comment on that.
Well, you know, you take the recent collapse of the financial and housing markets last fall, and obviously it plunged us into the current recession that we're having. And I understand what you're saying about Citibank and the amount of money that's being paid out in bonuses to executives. I believe the Obama administration is looking at executive compensation. But more specifically, if you were to look at, again, Baltimore Air Coal and Paxton, and you look at where their plants are located, they were the only plant here in the Midwest. There was an East Coast plant, I believe, in Maryland, another one in California. So in their particular situation, that's where the jobs went. They went to the East and West Coast. What I'm really surprised at, caller, is that with the closing of ACH Foods, formerly AC Humpco, I believe they were just purchased about 9 months ago by ADM and their plant and their sister plant in Jacksonville. Both are being closed. So when the news first hit the air, you know, I thought that was a positive for ACH Foods. But it turns out in mergers and acquisitions, and we've seen it probably more so in the financial institutions with banks buying other banks, in this particular instance, those jobs are being moved and they're being absorbed.
And that, again, I guess it would come back to the fact that it's not simply that we're losing jobs. I mean, that's we are. But it's particular kinds of jobs that we're losing.
Right.
And it doesn't seem real likely that we're going to be able to get those kinds of jobs back. I mean, maybe so, you know, that you do periodically hear of maybe small manufacturers who are deciding that they're going to set up a plant, or maybe you can get them to move from somebody else, from someplace else to move into your community, and that might create tens or hundreds of jobs.
But, Dave, I think that's dependent upon the industry. Yeah. I mean, if you take a look at the industrial park in Rantoul, for example, obviously the automotive industry is down. It's just been a couple of years ago that we lost Collins and Aikman as an employer. They were the largest employer in Rantoul, formerly Rantoul Products. Mm-hmm. So if you look specifically at the downturn in the automotive industry, it really has a ripple effect. Not only is Collins and Aikman affected, so is Eagle Wings Industries. If you look at another Rantoul manufacturer, Coraco, or actually Jelwyn, formerly Coraco, they are a national wood window and patio door manufacturer. So you look at the decline in the housing market, they're already a seasonal employer because they're connected to new housing construction. But then you have the downturn that we had last fall that adversely affects their business as well.
Yeah. Well, do you abandon the idea that there are going to be those kind of jobs, or there's going to be that many kind of jobs again, and just say, well, we need to have different kinds of jobs, or do you, does a community try to either hang on to manufacturing jobs or try, you know, put a lot of efforts into trying to attract new manufacturing jobs?
Well, I think we, if you take a look at the economy and take a look at the jobs, as you just said, I think you have to stay the course. Mm-hmm. If I use automotive as another example, and you look at Flexengate and Guardian West, again, they were adversely affected, so they did some downsizing. But now you've got this, what do you call it, cash for clunkers program?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the automotive industry is starting to get some new life, starting to build some momentum. I believe, what was it, $1 billion, and those funds were exhausted in 1 week. Yeah. So they had to take an appropriation of an additional $2 billion. Flexengate and Guardian West are calling workers back, okay, because now you're seeing an increase in orders. You're seeing an upsurge in their business. So I heard you use the word abandon. I wouldn't abandon okay, those jobs. I would stay the course because I think once you see the economy, and we're seeing some indications that the economy is starting to level off and starting to bounce back, I think you'll see those jobs come back.
Yeah. We're just about at our midpoint here. Let me just very quickly introduce again our guest, Minor Jackson. He's the Executive Director of Workforce Development at Parkland College. And he is also the former director of the Parkland Business Development Center. And he worked in private industry and human resources for a number of years for a number of different Fortune 500 corporations. Worked at various assignments around the Midwest, Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin. We're talking here about what it is that Parkland does to try to provide training and education to people who want to get a good job or improve their work status. Talk a little bit about what's been going on with jobs here in East Central Illinois, what the future might hold. And questions, comments certainly are welcome. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. I think we have another caller here on our line number one. Hello? No? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe that was left over from the last caller. Other people are welcome into the conversation. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. You know, something that you know, I think that when people look at other countries, particularly industrial countries of Europe, they would say that one thing that they have done that we haven't done is that there are more different opportunities for education past high school. Like here in the United States, we tend to think of, you know, post-secondary after high school education. Well, if you're going to do that, you go to a four-year college. And we were talking earlier about the fact that community colleges don't probably get the respect that they should. People don't really understand just how important they are in terms of trying to prepare people for work. But I wonder how you think about that and whether there might be some ways that here in the United States, we could create more varied educational opportunities for people past high school. I think because some people would argue, well, everybody doesn't have to go to a four-year college. Not everybody can. Not everybody needs to. But everybody, if they're going to get a good job, needs to go past high school.
Right. Well, it's been very encouraging to hear the administration in D.C. talk about community colleges. Because really, Dave, when you peel back the onion, it's the community colleges that are training our workforce, whether that be incumbent workers, you know, at local employers, or whether it be adults and youth entering the workforce. So I think what an individual has to do is look at the resources that are available at Parkland, for example, and see how they can utilize those resources to help them enter into the workplace or advance in their current position in the workplace. I had talked about some academic and student support resources before, but I failed to mention a couple of others. For example, there's the Adult Reentry Center. Take a working adult who, let's say, has a high school diploma or possibly an associate degree. They can go through the Adult Reentry Center and connect through Parkland to Eastern Illinois University and receive a bachelor's degree. Let's say there's someone who does not possess a high school diploma. They can connect with Parkland's adult education and receive a GED, which will make them more marketable, which will make them more employable. But if you're to look at some specific academic departments at Parkland, our computer science and information technology has a wide array of classes, certifications in the IT field. If you look at our engineering science and technology, and you take some of the economic stimulus money that's been distributed, and you look specifically at construction projects and so forth, there are curriculums that are designed to help individuals where they can enter into those industries. We already talked about healthcare, but you have to look at Parkland College on Mattis and look at the health professions classes are being taught right there, which is really a consolidated learning center for health career professionals. And you have opportunities for continuing your education and for career advancement. And then you also have to take a look at the Illinois WorkNet Center, formerly the Illinois Employment Training Center. So my department, Parkland College Workforce Development, is located there, as well as the Illinois Department of Employment Security that administers the unemployment compensation, as well as the Champaign Consortium Workforce Investment Act, which administers the federal training dollars that comes through the State Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, and also the Department of Human Services, Division of Rehab Services that helps disabled individuals. This area has been referred to as the one-stop. You're familiar with one-stop shopping. Where here you've got one-stop workforce development services available to you. Recently, Parkland submitted a grant proposal to the U.S. Department of Education that takes a look at all the services that are available at the one-stop, and we propose a 40-hour workforce readiness workshop for dislocated workers and working adults, where they can go through a series of assessments as well as job search strategies and skills. And it builds on the foundation of the Parkland Rapid Response Team, but it culminates in what I call short-term intensive occupational training, which is really targeted for what you talked about earlier, right? Yeah. Jobs. So it's a situation where you can really strike a win-win-win, whether it be for the individual, for the employer, as well as for Parkland College.
And I just want to make sure that people understand that for that individual who would say something like, well, I know that I need more education and training. I would like to go back to school, but I'm not quite sure what classes I should take or what I would want to study. Maybe also for that person who would say, I'm not quite sure. In fact, I have no idea how I'm going to pay for this. That for people who have all those sorts of questions but that have the determination to pursue the education, they can simply walk in the door at Parkland, and that there's some people who are there to help with all of that.
Absolutely. I talked about the admissions process earlier, but I failed to mention that Parkland has a Center for Academic Success that has tutoring on site that can help the individuals answer the questions that you just asked. In regards to finances, Parkland has its own financial aid department, which has a diversified set of grants, loans that are available to students. We also have TRIO student support services that can help individuals in both their career interests or help them sort out some of the academic questions that you just asked and provide support as well. And if you take a look at what I said earlier, the adult education side of it, there's free GED classes, there's free computer training, okay? It's on campus at Parkland College. It's also at the Illinois WorkNet Center. We have a computer lab there as well, okay? So there is really a vast array of resources and services available at Parkland College that can help the individuals really navigate their way to that end result. I've had some past experience doing some career counseling, And the three traditional questions are, you know, where are you now? Where do you want to be? How can I get there? And what I tell individuals, Dave, is that hopefully the first two questions are self-explanatory. But the third question, in order to answer it, it requires a plan. And the basic format of that plan is you really have to take an in-depth look at yourself and come up with a list of desires and wants versus knowledge and skills. And the challenge is to marry that list. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the definition of career development, the definition is when preparation meets opportunity. So as a former HR professional, I used to tell the employee, I'll put you in charge of the preparation side of the ledger. But as your HR director, I'll put myself in the opportunity side. And this would lead to really an in-depth conversation, but you really have to do a self-examination on that. I think there are times where individuals are not fully aware of all the knowledge and skills that they have. So one of the things that used to come out in these individual career counseling sessions is that the individual will walk away learning about skills they weren't really paying attention to.
Let's talk with somebody else here. Let's take this caller in Champaign, and this is someone on line one. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Mr. Miner, first of all, I'm going to start with saying I have the highest regard for Parkland and for the junior college
Thank
system.
You.
I came from East L.A., and I saw firsthand how the junior college was primarily, singularly responsible for moving the Mexican community from poverty into the bedroom communities east of it, where they were able to get jobs and housing and be part of a broader community base. And so I think it's fabulous. And I think Parkland has a national, if not larger, reputation for excellence. There's something I am concerned about, and it's what you were just talking about. Sometimes I feel like the person who comes in, especially if they're coming from poor communities, to enroll in the shorter-term degree program, maybe it's a 6-week or 8-week, I'm not altogether sure, they come in with the idea that, oh, my mom, my grandma, my aunt went and got a certificate, let's say as a CNA, over at Parkland, and so that's what I want to do. And I feel that when a person is coming in with that kind of determination, they're actually not getting the benefit of counseling, and nothing seems to be stopping that process then of poor women especially going into the lowest paying possible jobs. To me, it's more, it almost is like steering a person away from their potential, where they actually need someone to say, wait a minute, you know, let's see who you really are and what your interests might actually be. My communication with so many people has been, do not go into those jobs. They are dead-end jobs. If you're a woman, go find a 6 or 8 week program in a man's job, whatever that may be, you know, in construction or who knows what, that might pay you a little better. So do you have a comment on those things?
Well, first of all, thank you for the positive comments about Parkland College.
Mm-hmm.
What I was trying to say earlier, I've said more specifically to people in recent weeks, is that chances are the education that you sought initially probably won't be the occupation or field that you work in. So let me use myself as an example. I have a bachelor's of science degree in accounting, and worked in accounting for 6 years. But after that, I was given an opportunity in human resources and worked in human resources for 20 years. And now I'm in the workforce development field. It specifically looks at training and development of individuals. I would ask that you would consider, and other individuals would consider, some of the academic and student support resources at Parkland College, because I believe in order for you to answer those type of questions, a career counselor through the Career Center, or going to the Counseling and Advising Center, or going to the Center for Academic Success, or the Adult Reentry Center, or the Adult Ed Department can help an individual with that. When I talked about short-term intensive occupational training, I used the CNA class as an example because it's an 8-week class, and as you stated, it results in a certificate. But I believe there's a misnomer in the community, kind of similar to what Dave said earlier. Even though I have the CNA certificate, I don't have any experience. Therefore, I'm unable to successfully be placed in a job. We're aware of local healthcare employers that are hiring CNAs with no experience. So when I talked earlier about getting the foot in the door and really taking that first initial opportunity, I think the individual has to do some soul searching to answer the career questions that you stated in your question very eloquently over the air. But at the same time, you got to take a look at what's available in the community, what the employer has to offer, what openings are available, and then what is the wages, salary, and benefits associated with that. I think sometimes individuals don't do their homework. Okay, so take, for instance, the example that you and I cited. If I was to go through an 8-week CNA class and receive a certificate, I would think that either before, during, or after that class, I would do my homework, and I would identify those local healthcare employers, because I know of one that's paying $10 an hour with no benefits, another one that's paying $12.50 an hour with benefits, and they're hiring no experience. Now, in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to spend some time at the resources I cited at Parkland College, probably spend some time at the Illinois WorkNet Center, and probably spend even more time on the Internet in order to identify those employers and those opportunities. I know it's a difficult struggle individually, but at the same time, when I did individual career counseling, I would tell people that you are responsible for managing your career. Okay, no one's going to give you power. You've got to seize it. If you're waiting for the phone to ring for your next opportunity, that's not a proactive approach. So what I'm saying to you, ma'am, is I think those individuals really have to do some soul searching inside, really has to take a look at the resources available at Parkland and in the community, and take a closer look at the employment opportunities that the employers have available.
Well, I am just speechless.
Why are you speechless, man?
What, in a good way or in a bad way?
Why are you speechless, man?
Well, first of all, I know your history. I know you. I know your history. That's one thing. I don't know. I guess it's because of being a counselor for maybe more years than you, especially with women, and especially with women from a very poor backgrounds, that to have an expectation that people are going to come in to an institution and know how to manage their self and know how to do their homework and whatever, I think is really short-sighted. I expect, okay, now I'll give my real voice to this. Number one, I want steering to stop of poor women into fields like the CNA program. I do think that there are jobs. I don't think that there aren't jobs. I just think that they are dead-end things. And it's easy, perhaps, to take somebody who's already come in with an idea, but she's coming in with an idea that she noticed her neighbors, her mom, her aunt, her grandma do. These are not far-sighted ideas. These are limited ideas that were given to people of limited experience and background, and so they just keep doing the same thing, whether it's cleaning rooms, whether it's doing CNA. It's the lowest possible denominator. It behooves a place like Parkland to take the initiative also with people and to have the kind of conversations that actually steer them away from limited ideas about what their future employment might be. What you said, it just makes my mouth hang open, that the whole onus of responsibility would be on a person who doesn't bring to the table the kind of expectations that you have. That is something that can be developed, that can be dialogued about. That actually takes the skill of counseling, not an expectation of the person just coming in automatically with those skills. So that's why my mouth was hanging open.
Well, we're down to the point where we just have a couple of minutes left. And I don't know how you might like to respond to the caller. I suppose I find myself wondering, you know, to what extent you think somebody who does workplace counseling and retraining does have some, you know, whether it is part of your job, somehow part of your job to, you know, go beyond helping somebody from where they say they want to go to doing something, you know, maybe like the caller suggests, where you actually look at that person and when they're telling you what it is that they're wanting to do, you saying to them, you know, I think you can do better than this. I think you can do more than this, and I think that you're setting your sights too low. I mean, is that part of your job?
Well, Dave, I'm not sure how to respond to the caller's last position. Let me give you this example. I had a young lady walk into my office yesterday. She's a Parkland College student. She's also a student worker. And she had talked to a academic advisor and counselor. She had talked to a career counselor. So she had talked. She had used two Parkland resources: Counseling and Advising Center, as well as the Career Center. And both centers referred her to me because she had an interest in human resources. I spent 60 minutes with this young lady yesterday, just introducing her to a national organization called SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Management. I introduced her to the local chapter, which is called CHARGE, the Central Illinois Human Resource Group. Mm-hmm. And I gave her an HR magazine, which is part of the SHRM membership. And I said something to her similar to what I said to the caller, and that is she's got to do some soul searching inside, okay, to figure out if HR is what she wants to do. I still believe that it's an individual's responsibility to manage their career, but you must utilize the resources that are available, not only at Parkland College, but throughout. And what I did with this young lady is I asked her specifically, why are you interested in human resources? Mm-hmm. Okay. And she gave me her reasons why. And I believe that you may have an opinion on why you're interested in a particular field, but until you start working in this field, okay, you'll actually formulate and shape that opinion even more. I think that if you take the individual's level of maturity and responsibility and combined it with the academic and support services available at Parkland College, and I'm just amazed at all the information that's available on the internet, I think you can close that gap. Okay. What I said before about the three traditional questions, where are you now? Where do you want to be? How can I get there? That third question was always the hardest one to answer, and that's why I said it required a plan. But you've got to do some really in-depth analysis of yourself, some self-examination of what you possess in regards to your desires and wants compared to your knowledge and skills. It's not an easy process. It takes a lot of time.
Well, we're coming down here to the point where we have about a minute or two. Just as a way of finishing up again, you know, what would you like people to know about Parkland and about what kind of services that there are for people who are in this place that we're talking about?
I would encourage people to come to the Illinois WorkNet Center. We're located at 1307 North Mattis Avenue. You can stop by anytime between 8:30 a.m., 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Myself and my two colleagues, Andrea Young and Keisa Hayes, are available to the public. I mentioned earlier that the Illinois Department of Employment Security that administers the unemployment comp, as well as the Champaign Consortium Workforce Investment Act that administers the federal training dollars, and the Department of Human Services, Division of Rehab Services. All four agencies are really here to serve you as well as support you, whether you are a dislocated worker or whether you're a working adult, okay? The caller's questions regards to career counseling, I can help you with that individually. I mentioned the resources several times that Parkland has available. The Champaign Consortium has resources available as well. So I'm not exactly sure, Dave, how much of the general public knows what resources are available.
Yeah. Well, there we're going to have to leave it. Our guest this morning is Minor Jackson. He's Executive Director of Workforce Development at Parkland College. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dan.
We appreciate it. This report, by the way, about the economy in Central Illinois, part of Will Connected, it grew out of a series of community conversations that WILL held this past summer in Champaign, Vermilion, and Macon counties. And by the way, if you or a family that you know needs help keeping up, we encourage you to visit the website willconnect.org/economy. And from there, you can hear some other reports and programs about the economy's effects. You can also connect with agencies in your area for guidance and counseling. We want to thank also First Call for Help, Decatur, United Way of Danville, Family Service of Champaign County, and the Community Service Center in Rantoul for their partnership on this project.